portion. The Torah portion is the parsha of Vayera. I want to add, if I can, a few pieces from one particular section. It's a great parsha. It's a power pack. I'm actually not choosing one of the more power pack. It's all shot. Miles is up. What's your birthday?
How is that possible?
Not Hebrew birthday?
Yeah. Okay, so you're, it's not your partial, you leaned it, but it's not your partial.
No, my real partial shows me, I leaned both.
Okay, so, so it's a good reminder, your partial partial, whoever's partial partial, mom, happy birthday to you, it's great to write the right date.
Also.
Happy birthday to you.
Birthday.
Yes, your birthday?
Happy birthday.
Dave Saraf, happy birthday.
This is my partial.
Okay, anyways, I'm not going to highlight, you guys a lot to talk about, I'm not going to talk about the topics that are a little more popular, like Kenneth Yitzchak, that's a tremendous one, or Sarah having her first child. Talking about a topic that's actually, you know, a fascinating one, but doesn't make the top three, I don't think. I want to talk about, if I can, the topic of Stom and Avram. We know that Lot was a shofet, we're told. He was a shofet in Stom. And Hashem decided he was going to destroy the city. Hashem decided to destroy the whole city of Stom. And he comes to Avram Avinu. Says the pasuk. Pasuk says as follows. It says, "Vayomer." Sorry. Hashem Amar Hamechaseh. Pasuk Perikichet. Pasuk Yudzayin. Hamechaseh Ani Me'Avraham Asher Yosef. What shall I hide from Avraham? What am I going to plan on doing? I have to share with him my plan. And therefore, he that sees the pasuk, because I know that in the future he's going to be following his children, and he's following the way of Hashem. It's important for me to tell Avram everything that's on my mind to do. And therefore, Hashem goes to Avram Avinu and he tells Avram Avinu, I have a plan in mind, I'm going to destroy the entire city of Sodom. That's my plan. At which point, Avram Avinu does a bold move, and he challenges God. Questions him. Sure. It's a little bit of Chil Hashem, God, and maybe Chil Hashem, Chil yourself. You can destroy Tzadik, Merasha. And he davens for Sodom. He tries his hardest to defend him. Maybe he has 50 people there. He doesn't say the 50. He says, say the entire city. Could you imagine for a second, Avraham Avinu is the king of chesed, the king. He is the pillar of kindness that we, to this day, still refer back and reflect back on. Stom is everything but that. We're told the stories. The Medrash tells a story. There was a woman one time who did a kindness, something nice for people in Stom. And the people in Stom, they took her, they poured honey all over her body so she would be bitten, eaten alive. By insects and animals, for her chutzpah of doing a nice action for somebody else. Do you think Avraham Avinu was trying his hardest to get like chesed in the world, would have applauded God's desire to destroy the city of Sodom, the anti-Avram city? And yet he sits there and he pleads and he defends. Question number one is, why would Avraham do that? Question number one. Question number two is, Avraham Avinu refers to himself as he starts to discuss with Hashem. He begins, he says in Pasuk, in Perek Yudches, Pasuk of Zion, Vayan Avraham Vayomar, Avraham says back to Hashem, Hine now, Alti Leber El Adonai, Vanochi Afar Ve'efer. He says, I've just begun speaking to Hashem, who am I? I'm only Afar Efer. I'm mere dirt and dust. Dirt and dust. Rashi right away, as far as this question actually brought down, typically called Mishka Mitzala, who a student of mine years ago, and Brian Frankel actually brought this sefer to me this summer. It's a beautiful idea he has in the sefer, and that part of it's from there. I'll quote him soon. But he asks, the word Afar Ve'efer says Rashi, according to the Medrash, Afar Ve'efer is actually referring to an incident where Hashmosh or Adam could become Afar, and he could become Efer. According to Rashi, reading inside with you right now, Afar, I should have already been Afar, I should have already been dirt. The Malachim, when Avram butted into the four and five kings' wars, I should have been killed. I wasn't prepared for battle. They're much stronger than I am. Yet you saved me. Who am I? The Afer through Nimrod. I should have been burnt to a crisp by walking through a fire, but who am I? You saved me. And therefore, he reflects on the fact that he's only offered the Afer. The question that a number of athletes, particularly Mishnah Batal, asks this question, he says, the order's wrong. What happened first?
Kishonesh.
It should say, Anochi, Afer, V'Afar. It's a different ring to it, obviously. Those people who lay in the parsha, we couldn't tolerate that. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't sound right. But in chronology, if the Medrash is right, if Rashi's point of Medrash is right, it should say, Anochi, Afer, V'Afar, it should have said. Why is it afar of the ether? It's the reverse order as far as the chronology goes, at least. That's a question that he asked. We'll address both these points. Again, point number one we're going to address. Why did Avram daven for the most terrible people in the world who live everything that is against what he does in life? Why is he davening to be saved? And number two is, why is the offer of Aether? It sounds like it's a strange usage of words. Why is that what he says? And even the order itself is wrong. I'll tell you an example of why I think it's strange to daven for them. Alistair told me this story to me. I'm not taking sides, saying he's right or not right, but Alistair told me that he was, I went to the hospital a few weeks ago, and we're giving out candy to those who were injured in different attacks that were local. And Alistair had a lot of candy, and he gave to Jew and non-Jew alike. I mean, he gave to the Israelis and the whatever you call them. He gave them candy. I don't mean the terrorists. I mean, people are sick. People who are sick. They have their own issues. That people are sick. Even non-Jews get sick sometimes. They go to hospitals and Jews, and they get sick. And he gave candies also. And someone came up and said, "What do you? How dare you give them?" Again, it's not the one the terrorists that get candy. It's our children. How dare you give them candies? You know, they're our enemies. And Alex was very like taken aback by that. You know, he felt like, "What do you mean, Kiddush Hashem? You're trying to, you know, make peace." Maybe he'll start in the hospital rooms when the Jewish doctors and Jewish boys. I'm not taking sides, who I think is right, it doesn't really matter. I don't feel like I have an opinion this matter. But it makes sense that when someone is so anti-you in your existence, that you wouldn't really go out of your way to help them out. If you're a doctor and they come on, I understand it's your job. But if it's not your job, then why would you do it? Why would you go out on a limb? Why would Abba be to go out on a limb, challenge God, question God's justice? For people who stand for everything but what he stands for. So Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rosh Moshe has an unbelievable shot in his Sefer, and I want to share with you what it is. I think it's a very important lesson in life, particularly in nowadays life. You and I think about Chesed, and we think Chesed is, you know, what I relate to most. I want to give a charity to something that I can relate to. Chesed. You know, you want to try to get stuff, who you stuff it to, well, what's something that speaks to me? Chesed, it's nice. But Avraham Avinu does not believe in that chesed. That chesed is a little more selfish. Chesed really means just pure kindness. Like, Avat Chinam means I love you for no reason. Chesed means I have no ulterior motives. Not because I relate more to you. It's not. Because it's the right thing to do. Because it's nice. Avraham Avinu's chesed he did, that he wanted to do in life, was a chesed. Since the Torah says that chesed, being kind, is altruistic, is a positive midah, I'm about chesed. I do not split hairs. Oh, this person I'm not about chesed to. This person I'll be about chesed to. He, I like him. He's from my community. He's not my community. I'm not going to speak to him at all. That's not what it means. Chesed means it doesn't matter who's at your door. You're about chesed. Give him chesed. We live in a world where we're not like that. We're very quick to look at the person, you know, even when it comes to even Ashkenaz and Sephardim even. In Israel, there's a terrible split among Ashkenaz and Sephardim. Terrible split. And there are schools that will not accept Sephardi Jews. They won't accept them. Because they're lower class in their eyes. It's hard to imagine that. Usually Sephardim are the opposite of Ashkenazim. They're lower class in their eyes. The fact that we even have classes like that is terrible. It's a Jew and it's a Jew. Avraham Avinu taught us, even a non-Jew, even a person who stands for everything against what he stands for, the Torah is a book of chesed, part of the book, Olam chesed yibaneh, the world is created upon chesed. And obviously that's a trait of God, and I see no difference between whether a person is like me or is not like me. That's the shot of the Drash Moshe. We'll get back to the point in a few minutes from now. That same concept. Rav Aaron Cutler, though, in his Sefer, Mishnah Rabbi Aaron, who's also in the Parsha, he has a different idea. He focuses a lot on tefillah. This, we know that right now we're working on tefillah, we're trying to daven, we're trying to work on our davenings. We're always davening, working on our davenings. But definitely this month we've been working on discussions about tefillah, about working on our davening. So Rav Aaron Cutler says the following shot. He says that tefillah is supposed to daven for anyone and everyone. The calls that we were given by God to daven, it should not be, I daven only for you. Or Kunzer mentioned this morning. He mentioned the idea of you daven for someone else, and usually you're answered quicker. That's what happened with Sarah. When Avram davened that Sarah, when Sarah was taken captive, and all the people of Mizraim, all the orifices of their body closed up, so they couldn't have kids. So we davened to help them out, to, you know, release them of their issue. And in the end of the day, what happened? Sarah herself became pregnant also. Why? Well, because especially for Chazal, if you daven someone else, you also get healed as well. It's an important idea. And therefore, we see over here that you're not dying for people in order to be helped. It doesn't matter if they hold by you, they don't hold by you. When you have, I know there are many people in the world, for example, certainly Haredi Jews, that they don't see eye to eye with people in the army. They don't like people going to the army. But when you're in a situation like this, where people are in the army, and they're protecting you, and they're saving you, so then they daven for them. But they're Jews. You should always daven for them. How could you not daven for any person, whether they're from or they're not from? Or like Rabbi Yehuda says, they're not yet from. How could you daven differently from people who have a time of need because they relate more to you? So Avraham Avinu is telling us the key of tefillah is that you should not split hairs. You know why? Because if you split hairs, then God will split hairs with you. Oh, should I answer you? You know, you like me? Do you mimic my behavior? Are you a Baal Chesed like I am? Well, if you're not, then I shouldn't respond to you. If you don't respond to the person different than you are, why should I respond to you? So we actually had this a very similar problem between husband and wife, and certain shalom bias issue we had in the same exact brachos and daf yud, where Bruri and Rabbi Meir were out of my focus. There were these people in Rabbi Meir's town who were bothering him a lot. They gave him a very hard time about a lot of things. And Rabbi Meir says, Hashem should take their lives. Take them away, kill them. And Bruri hears and says, why are you saying that? Why don't you doubt these b'tshuva? Why don't you doubt that they should have in their mind and their ability to repent and to turn around their lives? And she gave him a little musr on it, and he did, and it happened, and they gave him tshuva. The whole discussion, actually, many times discussed, can I daven for you to tshuva? Is that for me to do it? Maybe you should daven. I can't daven for you to tshuva. It's your own free will that you have. How do I affect the free will of it? It's a discussion among the commentaries. But the concept is that you affect someone else through your tefillah. If Avraham could do it for stone, if Avraham could daven for stone, so Kal v'chomer, we can daven for each other. What does that mean? Here we are, and we're sitting right now in time where we're not on the front lines as far as we are in Torah, but not on the front lines of battle. And we're being protected by our soldiers, who are not like us. We probably couldn't communicate with them even if we tried. We wouldn't know how to speak the language. We can't relate to them so much. But they're much more like us than Stoma's like Avram. So how can we go through a tefillah when we don't think for a little bit of time about a soldier who's wounded, or people who are sitting in the tavern right now, constantly getting attacked, stabbing attempts, etc. So maybe they can't daven because they don't have time to daven. They don't love you to daven because they're busy saving us. So you make time to daven for them. Make time, get up. When you have, before you take a seat back from Esrei, think about a soldier. Names don't even matter. Just because Baruch Hu should protect people, Achenei Kol Yisrael, they're in a suit of Tzara Meshuga, they're in a situation of difficulty. They can't take time out to daven for us because they're protecting us. But we should be able to daven for them. Our people daven for stone, we should send a daven for them as well. There's one last point in this area, and I'll switch over to the offer of Aver part, is the Sam Derech, which is again, it's a Sefer, which is a Broid, who was given to me by my students at Westreich, and usually gave me this, it's a Sefer, so he has an unbelievable idea. He says that Avram was talking to Hashem's Chesed. He's doubting for stone, but he's talking to Hashem's Chesed. He's saying, Hashem, I'm asking you, Afar and Afer, both of them, I'm not coming to you for who I am. I'm coming to you because you're a Baal Chesed. I could have been Afar, I could have been Afer. I could have been Afar with the Milchama of the kings you mentioned. I could have been Afer by being burnt in the Kishan Eish. Now, if you think about it for a second, though, he should really pat himself on the back for both those situations. Hashem saved him, but he was Moser's Nefesh in both cases. He went into a war that was not his to go into. He could have ignored it. He fought against kings with only, according to the Chumash, 318 soldiers, according to the Medrash, with only Eliezer, only one trusted servant. It's true that the king should have killed him, but why does he get props for that? He should get props. He also put himself in a serious risk. And when it came to the Kishon HaEish, it's true he could have been toast, could have been burnt to a crisp, but he did for God's sake. Why is he being so humble and saying, God, you could have made me into Afar, into Afer, you saved my life, saved Stone also. It was because he was Moser Nefesh, his life was saved. So how come that doesn't come up in the discussion with Hashem? Listen, unbelievable shot, Sam Derech says. Unbelievable shot. He says, picture the best person in the world. The person who does everything for God. Everything. 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 He davens, he sees people, he's a Baal Chesed. The best of the world, he takes care of them, he helps them out. Even everything he does not earn his living. It means he doesn't make his life worth living. God's Baruch Hu gifted you life. No matter what chesed or what you think he did for God's sake, you couldn't ever come close to matching what he does for you. Ever. There's an idea in general that a relationship is always based upon the weakest link of the relationship. As an example, I mentioned to people in the past, if you're a father, it's a relationship. Usually the son will decide how close he and his father will be. Why? The father loves you with everything. You love your dad with less than that. You don't want to give you a kiss in public. Dad, friends around. You don't want to hang out with them all the time. You want to hang out with your friends. We try to distance our parents sometimes. We're kind of like Dad, give me, I need some space here. Because we're often us. And because we ask our parents for space, we'll only be as close to our parents as we want to be. That's the rule. That's how it goes in life. However, when it comes to God, now it's the same thing. But Baruch Hu gives you everything in the world. You, on the other hand, are like the child to this to the father. I need to face God, and I don't want to do that thing over here. I'm not interested in that, so I don't want to keep that law. You decide what you have with God, you decide. But even if you did every single thing in the book, you weren't lax in any area, you still couldn't match what God did for you. You still not be able to do for God what He does for you. And for that reason, over here we say, I don't think our offers make mention of the fact that he could have been offered our Ephraim because he was most nefesh. It still doesn't merit his being born even. It's a gift from God. And therefore, our Ephraim made to realize ourselves, no matter what we do, it still couldn't match the gift that God gives us. But I want to focus on one last point, and that's really all I'm going to spend the next few minutes, and then we'll stop. Why is it the wrong order? How come it says offer Ephraim instead of Ephraim offer? So the Mishkan B'Tzal has this unbelievable idea. He said the purpose of our doing a mitzvah, of our doing a chesed, of our doing anything in the world, the purpose of it is that we should mivata our ratzon in front of Hashem's ratzon. That's the reason why we do things. God's idea in life is more than my idea in life. If He wants me to do it, I want to do it for that reason alone. My personal opinions on things don't matter at all. God is much greater, He's infinite, and He wants something for me, so no matter what I want, I should put my ratzon beside and put Hashem's ratzon in front. When Avram rejected Nimrod and walked into a fiery furnace, we have no idea why he did it. Maybe he did it because he didn't like Nimrod. He wanted to rebel. Maybe he did it because he felt like it's not the right way to live your life. But it wasn't that Hashem said so. Hashem never said anything to him about this topic. Hashem never spoke to him beforehand. He found Hashem on his own. Hashem only spoke to him after he walked from the kitchen of Ish. And therefore, when the Torah wants to applaud Avram, even though chronologically it should have said Ephraim or Avar, the first Ephraim, when he could have been to toast, he could have turned to ashes from the fire, did not represent Avram putting his ratzon behind Hashem's ratzon. Because Hashem's ratzon was not known to us yet. But now we know Hashem's ratzon. Melchel, we know Hashem wants you to go. He doesn't want to go. He wants to his family. He doesn't leave his family behind. So he puts his own ratzon behind Hashem's ratzon. That is the ultimate level of putting his ratzon, putting Hashem's ratzon over ours. I was literally with my 3 o'clock shiur, Rav Pincus had the following thing. It's not very cruel or very crass, but I'll just explain to you what it means in 1 minute. Rav Pincus points out and says that if a person would be a tremendous Baal Chesed, actually, Itzhak Rebbe asked the question to me today. A person's a Baal Chesed. Such a nice person. Kind and caring, etc. But he's not like a believer in God. How do we look at him? So says Rav Pincus, give you a chance to explain, look at him like an animal. He's an animal. He's an animal. He's the nicest person. He does so many things. How is an animal? So why does an animal do things? Why does an animal eat? Because it wants to. Because it's hungry. Why would anything you do because it makes you feel good? Because you're happy doing it. So you do it for that reason. If a person does not believe in God, does chesed, you know why he does it? Because it makes you feel good. Feel better about himself afterwards. You don't do mitzvah to make you feel good. You don't do mitzvah because God told you to do it. That's why I do a mitzvah. A person's a mitzvah because I feel better than mitzvah means you're an animal. You do whatever makes you feel good. Whatever gives you pleasure the most in the world, I get more pleasure from doing chesed. So you know what? It's nice that God wired you that way. But the other guy likes to sleep and not do chesed, he's just like you are. He's doing what gives him pleasure. You're same with each other. Do you do a mitzvah? Do you do a mitzvah because Hashem said so? Because it makes you feel better. When you choose to sleep in the morning, because I like to, because I prefer my sleep, I enjoy sleeping. You're an animal. You're also an animal. An animal eats because it's hungry and it wants to. And if you wake up for a minute and you do a chesed because it gives you pleasure, you're an animal also. You do mitzvahs not because you like it better. You do it because that's what God wanted you to do. That's the ultimate level of sacrifice. That's what it means to be mevatel your ratzon in front of Hashem's ratzon. That's the goal of life. That, and only that. When you pick, and you choose, you do this more, you do that less, because you like to, so that means you're an animal. You do whatever makes you feel good. Animals also do whatever makes you feel good. That's not a great level. I'll give you a quick mushroom, and I'll end with a few more things about at this point. A quick mushroom. So much for the following story he tells over. And this is the example for a lot of us in our lives we can learn from. There was a king, and this king was, king's son, the prince, was going away for a number of years, just studying abroad, looking at different political systems, he wanted to see the world. And the king wanted to, so he can come back later on, and yeah, he can be a better king. And the king, when a month before he's supposed to go on his journey, he says to him, listen, do me a favor, my son. Whatever you do, don't ever make a bet. Don't ever make a bet with anybody. So he's like, okay, Dad. He's like, no, seriously, son, listen to what I'm saying right now. Don't you ever make a bet with anybody. So the son's like, okay, I got you, Dad. I'm not making bets with anybody. Next day, he's going to call him and says, son, Whatever you do, no bets. Don't forget. He's like, I got it, Dad, I got it. Every next 49 days, each day, the king calls him in and reminds him of the rule of the bet. To say goodbye, he's going on a boat to say goodbye, and the king's waving, son, don't forget the bet. No bet, no bets. Don't forget, I made a rule, made a deal. And the son's like, well, Dad, like, I got it. What's wrong? And sure enough, he goes, and the places of the world, and the countries, and the continents, and he's seeing this person, and since he's a prince, he gets in all the royal discussions, and the politics, and this, and everyone bets each other, everything, all betting, everything. And he never bets. He doesn't bet. He knows the father's rule. But as time goes on, he kind of forgets a little. He remembers the rule, but he's less like sensitive to it. Until one time, he's sitting, he's there for 2 years already, he's already been in all the different kingdoms and countries and looking around. And he's sitting among people, and they're all talking politics, and it's a heated discussion. Yesterday I was in the steam room. And there was people having political discussion in the steam room. And it's really politics. So it gets heated sometimes. Literally and figuratively, it gets heated. So this is getting a heated discussion about politics. And the prince raises his voice. Let me tell you what I think. I'm a prince, you know. I think I've been in a lot of places, a lot of things. And the guy in the back goes, hey, prince, yeah, some prince you are. You're not a prince, you're a phony. Hush. What? Call that prince a phony? He's like, I know the guy. I grew up in his town. He's not a prince. He's actually a lookalike of a prince. And this is a lookalike. This guy's a thief. He's a crook. And actually, he's played you all. And all of a sudden, everyone's like, you know, I can't believe it. The truth is they did know each other. They knew each other. And this guy's like, prince, like, why does this guy say that? I'm a prince. Like, he knows I'm a prince. What are you talking about that for? And everyone's like, you better explain yourself. They say to this guy, accusing the prince of being a phony. You better explain yourself a little bit. How can you say that? He says, you know what? I'll prove it to you. The phony has on his back shoulder blade a birthmark. It's a clear, strong birthmark. I'll describe it to you. He'll take off his shirt, and you'll see right away, for everybody, he's a phony. And then you kick him out of here, or whatever. And out of that, he goes, and I bet you 50,000 ruble that is true. So everyone turns to the guy now. It's like, nope. Take it back. My father. He made me swear not to bet. But at the same time, my father's name is on the line right now. He's calling us a phony. He's embarrassing the king. Should I see if my father would want me to do it? He wants me to. I'll take the bet. He's on his shirt. No birthmark. The guy says, I'm terribly sorry. You know, my apologies to the king and to his family. It was a terrible thing. You know, whatever. Fine. 50,000 rubles. It's all yours. Not only did he defend his family, but he actually brought money home, 50,000 rubles. And about a few weeks later, he goes back home. He goes off the boat, and his father says, welcome back, my son. Tell me, did you make any bets while you were gone? He's like, listen, Dad, before I say, do explain. He goes, don't tell me, do not tell me that you took your shirt off in public. How'd you know? He said, because 10 years ago, there was a man who came to my king and said, I bet you 100,000 rubles that I'll get your son one day to take his robe off in public. I'll bet you 100,000 rubles. Don't tell me you took your shirt off in public. But Dad, you don't understand. He was accusing you, me, of being phonies. He said I was a slave. He said, but I told you, don't bet. I asked you one thing, don't bet. But if you knew what it was about, you would have understood it. He said, but you have to understand that I'm telling you a rule. You don't pick and choose my rule. If I make a rule, you got to keep the rule. That's the rule. That doesn't make sense, dude. I told you so. So much fun says that's what we live our lives like. We pick, we choose, whatever we want to do, we do. We work as hard as we want to do. We're an animal. We're just like animals. Maybe we like chesed. So we're nicer animals. We're gentle animals. We're not predator ones. We're nice ones. But we're an animal nonetheless. When a person decides, I put my ruts on behind your ruts on Hashem, whatever you want, I do. That's when a person truly passes the test. What it means to be like Avraham Avinu, which is Zocha, which merits to always follow the trade of Avraham Avinu, and constantly be doing whatever ruts on Hashem is. Have a good Shabbos.